first and foremost, we don't want to over-invite to meetings. I mean, remote meetings plummet in quality as size increases.
Welcome to Be More, a podcast by Peakon. This is where everyone at an organization can hear different and meaningful perspectives on how we can all thrive in this ever-changing and constantly evolving world of work. I'm your host, Patrick Kornoyer.
I'm super excited about the conversation today. Joining me is Steven Rogelberg, who is a professor and also the director of organizational science at University of North Carolina at Charlotte, and also the author of a great book called The Surprising Science of Meetings. Steven, thank you very much for joining me today.
It's my pleasure. Good to be here.
Great. Let's kick it off, right? So the world of work has significantly changed over the past couple of months. And with that, meetings have significantly changed. And you have quite a bit of research and opinion around meetings. And in a recent publication that you put out in May, you really struck my interest with some of the statistics that you shared. The fact that there's 55 million meetings a day happening, and almost half of those are ineffective and disengaging, but also the fact that virtual meetings increase those numbers. And I was looking at my diary a bit today and looking at my meetings over the past couple of weeks, and probably 70% of my time, and I would assume most people's time, is spent in meetings. So obviously a significant challenge and something that we really need to overcome as we transition into this new world of work. So maybe you can start out with telling us about, from your perspective, how have meetings evolved over the past couple of months, specifically around virtual meetings?
Yeah. So, you know, you cited the 55 million meetings data. That's just in the US alone. So when you think globally, you know, that number obviously balloons with estimates of 100 million meetings a day around the globe. Anecdotally, and we're collecting data right now, I think those numbers are all up. Actually, you know, with people not present in the workplace, they're scheduling more and more virtual meetings to check in, to monitor the performance of their employees. So my estimate would be that the meetings are a good up 25% or so. And so these meetings obviously are being conducted virtually, and typically using Zoom seems to be dominating the market. And my sense is that people are struggling. Running meetings in and of itself is extremely challenging to do it well. And then when you put in technology in place, and the fact that you don't have the same kind of communication richness, the fact that when people are having these more virtual meetings, they're prone to something called social loafing, which is this idea that we reduce our effort in presence of others, in particular when we see ourselves as being anonymous, which is the case with these virtual meetings. And when we feel more anonymous, we tend to multitask, which is another challenge in running virtual meetings, right? Because people aren't as present. So to kind of sum up, I think we're having more meetings. I think we're having more struggle running these meetings. And then that manifests itself in more frustration in attendees.
I completely agree with you. And that really resonates. Those numbers are staggering when you think about the amount of meetings that are happening around the world. And now with organizations moving to a fragmented workspace and many companies with seeing virtual work and working remotely as the future of work, and also having this hybrid, right, where some organizations are bringing part of their companies back to work in offices, and the majority of companies are having the option of flexible work and not coming back into the office. So now we also have this mix of virtual and people in an office, and this concept of multitasking during meetings. That's an interesting one, because that's a challenge, and you can see it. I see it when we have meetings externally and also internally. I think people are inundated with the amount of meetings that they have in a day, and we're all feeling this back-to-back meeting situation, right? We're jumping off of one virtual meeting to the other, and we're trying to catch up on emails or Slack or internal communications. And the intent is not to be disengaged in a meeting, but almost this need to be able to keep up with everything else that's going on, but the fact that we have back-to-back meetings. And that's a significant problem, but also perception, right? So you see people that are clearly typing on video or reading something and on mute, right? So their typing is not distracting. How do you encourage or suggest the person that owns the meeting and the person that's leading the meeting? What are some ways that you would suggest the leader to make the meeting more effective, to set ground rules, to... You talk a lot about agendas, and I personally really like to have agendas with meeting, but what are some of the key tips that you have for people to have these virtual meetings, or at least people attending meetings more virtually, be successful with these meetings?
It's a great question. And the book, The Surprising Science of Meetings, provides a really thorough answer to that question. And it's a bunch of evidence-based practices designed to elevate meetings, to give meeting leaders choices. It doesn't prescribe a set medicine to make meetings better. Instead, it really argues that meeting leaders need to be intentional and recognize that they have a lot of decision points, and there are a host of options that you should consider when, you know, designing a meeting. So let me share a few low-hanging fruit. And I think the overall theme is, by designing a really powerful, lean meeting, then people will choose not to multitask because they're fully engaged, right? So why are you and I not multitasking now, right? Because we have a lot to do in this meeting, and we have accountability and focus. And so that's what we're trying to replicate in virtual meetings, make them so compelling that people wouldn't consider multitasking because they don't want to miss anything. So, you know, first and foremost, we don't want to over-invite to meetings. I mean, remote meetings plummet in quality as size increases. And there's really no reason to over-invite because we can so readily record these things. So when we have non-essential members, you know, let them off the hook. Just let them share the recording, you know, but give them the option to attend future meetings if they do think it's relevant to them. So leading down meetings is just so important, especially with virtual meetings. Then, you know, we want to set meeting times properly. You know, there's shorter attention spans right now. And so we want to avoid just defaulting to this 1 hour meeting, especially given Parkinson's law. And Parkinson's law is this idea that work expands to fill whatever time is allotted to it. So if you schedule a meeting for an hour, it magically takes an hour. And so we can use this to our advantage, right? We can start scheduling meetings for 20 minutes, 25 minutes, and we're going to get it done. And we're going to give people the greatest gift in the world, which is more time, right? So now we've talked about decreasing meeting size. We've talked about decreasing meeting time. And now, kind of going back to something you mentioned, agendas, you know, we want to sharpen the agenda. We want to really make the agenda highly compelling. So what I want to, you know, suggest is, opposed to structuring your agenda as a set of topics to be discussed, I'd like to challenge you to organize your agenda as a set of questions to be answered. And framing as a set of questions to be answered, this creates focus, which is often lacking in remote meetings. And by framing agenda items as questions, you really have a better sense of who has to be involved in the meeting because they're relevant to the questions. And by framing as questions, you know when to end the meeting because the questions have been answered successfully. And then the final thing that I'll say that is really about active facilitation. You know, we want meeting leaders to always recognize that they need to facilitate a meeting for it to be successful. But this is so key in remote meetings. You know, meeting leaders must embrace that role of facilitators, you know, draw virtual attendees in, right? Create that presence, keep them engaged. You might even consider keeping a tally just to be sure all are contributing and all voices are heard. Avoid generically asking any comments. Instead, call on people. Don't let someone ramble or go off, you know, topic. Kindly interrupt if necessary, because that's your job as a meeting leader. So, you know, managing the dynamics of the meeting is kind of that fourth leg on the chair to success.
Stephen, I can hear your passion behind this and I love it. And these are really tangible examples and suggestions that we can all use. And I definitely will incorporate a couple of those into the meetings that I lead. You bring up also a good point around training people on how to effectively facilitate in a meeting, because that's a skill and almost an art in some ways. And I know that one of the statistics that you share, and I just want to pause here and say, I love the fact that you are data-driven in your approach to this, because that very much resonates because you have the data behind it. It is a science. And I think that's really fascinating and incredibly impactful. But one of the data points that you share is the lack of training that organizations have with meetings. And seeing that probably meetings take up maybe 70, 80% of our time, that may even be a low estimate for many employees around the world, especially as we transition into this new world of work. How do you suggest organizations, and maybe what have you seen organizations succeed, or where have you seen organizations succeed with training people on how to effectively lead a meeting?
Organizations have basically accepted bad meetings as a way of life. It's just the cost of doing business. And that is absolutely not true. And so organizations who are successful elevate the topic of meetings. And why wouldn't they, right? If you have employees spending so much time in an activity and they're frustrated, how do we not elevate that activity? So when we elevate that activity, it takes a couple of forms. So first of all, we start to recognize that we have to provide training to people. Estimates suggest that only around 20 to 25% of leaders ever experience any training on how to run a meeting, right? That's an insane blind spot. Like, how does that possibly happen? And I would argue that the training they receive is often not highly appropriate. It tends to be formula-based. For example, have an agenda. Have an agenda and you'll have a good meeting. But that's not true. I mean, the research on agendas does not suggest that having an agenda in and of itself leads to a good meeting. And if you step back and reflect, this shouldn't surprise you. What matters more is the agenda relevant to the people? Is the agenda composed of compelling topics? Is the agenda being facilitated effectively? Well, those are the tough things, right? So you can say, you know, have, so in my book, the chapter is called Agendas Are a Hollow Crutch. And so the training that we want to have, it needs to be much more high fidelity and richer than the typical training, which is this idea of a set of formula. You know, here's the things you have to do to have a good meeting, because that just doesn't align with the science. So we want to get the training out. We want it to be rich. And then what we want to do is want organizations to try to create some accountability around the meetings. And one of our best tools for doing that is through our typical engagement surveys. There should be some content on the engagement survey around the topic of meetings. And then that enables you to create a dashboard, right? Because now we could say, well, what's meeting the meeting effectiveness indicator for all these various departments or all these various leaders? And then we can start monitoring it. We can start providing feedback to individuals. And, you know, when you have feedback and training, then you're really able to move the dial. And the thing that's been really surprising to me, I think, as you noted on the onset, so I did this book, it's been really successful, which is so exciting because it's about science of meetings. And I've been doing a whole bunch of speeches and talks. And so I spoke to 100 chief human resource officers, pretty much all Fortune 500 companies. And I asked them during the presentation, how many of you have content on your engagement survey around meetings? What do you think? How many people raised their hands?
I would say 10%.
That's generous. Two people.
Wow.
Two organizations. So, I mean, really, this is another great example of this blind spot, right? How is that possible that we are not using our engagement surveys to assess a highly engaged in activity that people are finding frustrating?
Yeah, that's quite interesting because, as you say, there's so much time that is spent, and the fact that there's so much business that happens in meetings, for us to truly understand the value of them and the impact of them is quite important. Along those lines, see, we're talking about training people in general and organizations. Do you think there's also an element of training for employees, individual contributors, people that are attending meetings? Because I think there is a lot of onus put on the person leading the meeting, but do you think there's some benefit in doing general training around, if you're going to attend a meeting, this is what's expected of you in attendance as well, on top of the people that are leading the meetings?
For sure. It's a great idea. You know, I personally think that everyone benefits from training on how to lead a meeting. I think that everyone probably can find on their calendars, no matter what level and they are in the organization, some meeting during a month that they're leading or co-leading. So I think it's beneficial for everyone to develop those skills. And then certainly as part of that, you know, this idea of what do individuals do to help promote meeting success, I think could be really powerful. So I do all this training for organizations, and my favorite type of training is when I can bring in the entire unit, right? The entire department, the entire division. Because talking about meetings with the collective, it fundamentally creates a different outcome in that, you know, people then have shared understandings of what meetings should and shouldn't be. And so that kind of that collective understanding makes it much more likely that people will change behavior. So I definitely am a big fan of, you know, trying to train the collectives and recognize that everyone has a role in making meetings great.
So Stephen, we're going to wrap up the conversation, but I would love to hear in 30 seconds, what is one suggestion that you would have that would be the most impact on how we should think about meetings for the future, or one thing we should consider changing? I know there's a lot and there's many different aspects, but what do you think is right now maybe the most impactful?
So I could easily talk about different tactics, things specifically to do. Let me take a different tack. Let me really focus on the mindset. The best meeting leaders seem to have something in common, and that these meeting leaders seem to recognize inherently that they are a steward of others' time. This mindset is really important, because when you recognize that you're a steward of others' time, then you want to design a meeting experience that truly honors people's time. So that mindset, I think, is so important. And I think that mindset also leads you to be more agile and more resilient, right? So obviously, meetings are changing. When you have that mindset, you approach a Zoom meeting differently. You might be saying, wow, how can I leverage this technology to actually have better meetings? And it's absolutely possible, right? That chat function can be another channel of communication to enrich your meetings. You know, Zoom has built-in voting functions. So there's a host of things, tactics that you can do, but it all starts with that mindset. So that would be my hope that people have, that, you know, think, recognize as a meeting leader that you are a steward. And if you embrace that mindset of being a steward, then I think you'll approach meetings as an opportunity to engage and include your employees, and you'll be flexible and nimble, and you'll keep looking for ways to elevate the collective time together.
Stephen, that's excellent. Really interesting perspective. I love your passion around it. Thank you for spending time with me and sharing some really meaningful and useful suggestions for all of us as we figure out what this new world is going to look like. And as a reminder, the title of the book is The Surprising Science of Meetings. Highly suggest reading it. And once again, Stephen, thank you for spending time with me.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
And that was Be More, a podcast by Peacon. Be sure to search for Be More in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, or anywhere else that you get your podcasts from. And go ahead and subscribe so that you don't miss out on any future conversations. On behalf of the team here at Peacon, thanks for listening.